couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We are moving into the big holiday release season now.
It is getting crazy, my friend.
It's this weird mix of big budget spectacle movies and
award season dramas.
Or as I like to refer to them, artsy-fartsy films.
That. Yes.
I have class.
Everybody knows that. If you've listened to this show at least once, you know that.
I have taste and class. They're not good.
Kevin has class with a K.
That's right. I'm drinking my crunk juice.
Yeah.
Anyways, this week we're going to be talking about Thor: The Dark World, About Time, 12 Years a Slave. We've got a listener feedback. It's an email.
Yep.
We're going to answer it later on in the show. We're going to talk news and DVDs and Blu-rays and all that good stuff. Before we do any of that, we're going to give you the information to get a hold of us. If you want to email us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find us on the interwebs at www.fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM, and you can go to Twitter and find out what I have to say, brilliance and all that good stuff, at twitter.com. In class with a K.
Yes.
Twitter.com/Kevin Carr.
And I'm Katie K. Reviews.
That's right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Before we roll into the news segment, let's hear a little bit of tease from our good friend, our dear friend, Chris Hemsworth. Not the guy from Hunger Games and Miley Cyrus and all that good stuff.
His wiser brother.
Yes, his wiser, blonder brother. What he has to say about Thor, which we're going to be talking about later.
Thor gets to really ask Loki, what do you want? You know, what's this about? What, like, why? How did we get here? And also apologize. Yeah, okay, I maybe played a part in that. But, you know, I think he's able to confront Loki and say, it's about time that you kind of recognize your role in this. You know, it wasn't all everyone else's fault. And which was nice, you know. I think in especially Avengers, it was just us kind of yelling at each other and butting heads, and that happens a bit in this. But there's for the most part, I think it's a far more interesting dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Loki is crazy.
Loki and Thor.
Loki es loco. Nice. Is that would be a great tagline in that would be like probably the most racist tagline you could do in Mexico. Well, maybe not the most racist.
You know, I hear that, you know, Tom Hiddleston is really hoping for a Loki movie, a spinoff. So,
yeah.
You know, they could call it that.
That's true. Loki y loco. And you can have, the Frito Bandito with him as a sidekick. Just to make it. And then you can do a Halloween costume on it. And then you can post it on Facebook. And then people can be outraged and offended by it.
There you have it.
Because that's what we do now, apparently.
Classy.
I know, with a K and a Z. K-L-A-Z-Z-Y. That's my rapper name, by the way.
DJ Clazzy.
DJ Clazzy.
Wow. Moving right along.
What is
Let's
happening
Let's talk about
here?
Something else that's classy.
That's right. One of my favorite, one of the things I hate the most, but my favorite news stories are rude a-holes in a movie theater.
Yes.
That's the best way to put it.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, that's just
if there's
science.
Somebody who is going to yell at someone in a movie theater, it will be you.
Yes.
It's awesome because we have those things. We know the people who always talk.
Yeah.
And we actually had a screening a couple weeks ago and somebody was talking before the movie. And I said to the guy who was sitting next to me, Jason Zingali from Bullseye, I said, Do you think he's going to talk through the entire movie? And Jason said, don't worry, Kevin will shush him.
And I did.
You did.
Well, then it was funny because this is a little bit of a tease ahead. When we saw Thor, there was something wrong with the 3D.
Ugh.
And it was like flickering. I mean, I'm surprised no one had a seizure because it was insane.
It was terrible. I had a headache.
Yeah, it was flickering and like with a polarized filter, whatever the filter garbage that goes.
It was wacky.
I know it looked wrong. The second I saw it, the second they go up with the Marvel logo, I'm like, that shouldn't be doing it because I've seen that logo a dozen times already.
Right.
And I got up and I go walking over to the rep and I hear Jason go, oh, there it goes.
Could you hear me? Thanks, Kevin.
So, did you sign in here? But yeah, it's like, and they're like, the second. And because I had that happened with the Harold and Kumar Christmas movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was doing the same thing, flickering. Mm-hmm. And you have to go and you have to sometimes just no, trust me, it's wrong. It shouldn't be doing
We've
that.
Had a lot of those where people just don't understand that the 3D is not supposed to look like that.
Maybe it has a double image and it gives you a headache and it's flickering. And this guy has an epileptic seizure in the epileptic, aphylactic, I don't know. An aphylactic seizure.
Nice.
That's when you find out that Ben Affleck's playing Batman. Anywho, this is a great news story.
Didn't we have some news to talk about? I think we did.
Yes, yes, yes. Chris, this is what happened. There was a screening of Gravity, it was in Canada.
Yes, yep.
And these people were and this guy starts heckling the movie. And he's making, like, fart noises. And
using quite technical jargon.
Yeah, yelling back at the screen. I mean, being a real jerk. And they go and they finally people complain. It turned out the guy who did this was Chris Hadfield, who's an astronaut.
He was the first Canadian to walk in space.
Wow.
Actually, yes.
Amazing.
So,
So that whole rumor that Canadians are always polite, he's busting that all over the planet, apparently.
Yeah.
But the best line is as he's being dragged out of the theater, he's like, "Have you been to space?
Yeah, I know.
I've been to space." It's an amazing news story because here's the thing. He's right. This technical stuff is wrong in the movie.
But it's a movie.
It's a movie. And shut up when the movie's on. It's like, who's that one guy? Neil deGrasse? He's that NASA guy. He saw it, and you see him, he's in memes and stuff. I'll have to look up his name. But he then went on Twitter and kind of tore through the movie in Twitter saying, well, this is wrong, and these satellites are in this orbit, and blah, blah, blah. But he did it on Twitter after he got out of the movie.
Yeah.
And the guy knows space. He knows how this stuff works, and he's absolutely right. But then again, you're like, it's a movie.
Yeah.
George Clooney is not an astronaut.
He's not?
Not now.
He might be.
Could be. That's an amazing
story. And a very charming astronaut he would be.
Oh, yeah. He would make love to space. That got really creepy all of a sudden.
It did. It's really creepy. Let's move right on to our next news topic. So the big news of the week, Blockbuster is closing its final 300 stores.
Wow.
Who saw that coming?
Who saw that Blockbuster was still open? I saw the news store and I'm like, there's still brick and mortar video stores?
Yeah, wow. There are a few out there.
Are there any near us? Because they're used to be
all. No, they closed them all down.
They're all gone here.
Because I went and bought all the cheap Blu-rays while they were closing them all down.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they're getting rid of it. They're getting rid of their disc service with their Blockbuster Online.
Mm.
They're trying to go to streaming. That's not going to work. And that's not going to work because they just don't have a foothold in the marketplace.
Yeah. It's just, it's sad. I mean,
well,
it was inevitable, but at the same time, it's the end of an era.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us spent their childhood and their teen years and their 20s at Blockbuster trying to figure out what movies we're going to watch?
Yeah.
I mean, my husband and I, we had a whole system worked out of how we would pick out the movies.
Oh, really? How'd you do? Because my wife and I had it. So what was your system?
Oh, we would pull them out just a little bit, the ones that we wanted to see, and then we'd go back and take turns pushing one in.
So it was a tactile experience.
Yes.
What if somebody then said, oh, that looks good, took it, you'd like punch them in the face and get away from my movie?
Then that
I've
would
been
mean,
to space.
That would mean that we're not seeing that one today.
Okay.
We do the same thing at home with our collection. We pull them out and we're like, okay, which one do you take out?
I just have this picture of you like Data in Star Trek
we're
moving
very
chips
methodical.
Around.
You know my husband.
That's
He's
true.
Very methodical. He's an engineer.
You guys are crazy neat.
It's how things work.
What we would do is, because my wife and I have, over the years being a film critic, I've my taste in movies has grown and broadened because I see everything now.
Mm-hmm.
But beforehand, I had very more narrow tastes, like in my 20s.
Really?
And my wife
had imagine.
Narrow tastes in her 20s. So what we would do is we had a rule. We said each of us would pick three movies that we think the other might like.
Oh.
And then we'd each pick one of the other's movies.
Interesting.
Which actually worked out well. And the thing is, you couldn't be a jerk about it. You couldn't say, well, I'm going to pick Texas Chainsaw and this. You know, these things that my wife would have no interest in.
Right.
I at least had to give an attempt. So, yeah, Blockbuster closing its doors. I think people are romanticizing the era that we're ending here. Because, and then the best.
But the era has been gone for a long time. Let's face it.
The best line I saw on it was somebody said, we should all celebrate by watching our fourth choice of a movie. Anyways, with that, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking Thor. Because we can't.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
I've been to space.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to some more news.
Yes.
It's funny because we just talked about Blockbuster. Now we're going to talk about Netflix.
Netflix.
And its relation to Marvel.
Yes.
Are you marveling at this yet?
I am.
Yes. This just hit right at the end of the week. Netflix has reached a deal with Marvel Studios and Disney, which of course owns them.
Of course.
That they are going to develop 4 13-episode series based on their comic book characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Daredevil and 3 people you've never heard of.
Right.
Okay. So Daredevil, which of course we remember the movie from, what, 2004? 2003?
I don't know. Ben Affleck? Was it that late?
Yeah.
I thought it was before that. But yeah, it was Ben Affleck and... People still are talking about how bad it was.
Yeah, but it was not a good version. But they're going to reboot it. And there's also going to be...
I'm guessing Ben Affleck won't be in this one.
No, although that would be awesome. He shows up as Batman. Wait, you can't be in here! I'm Bruce Wayne.
I'm Batman.
There's Jessica Jones. I don't know who that is.
Nope.
Iron Fist, which is nothing to do with the man with the Iron Fist. Which was that movie that came out earlier this year.
And it is not a leftover part from Iron Man.
By the RZR. No, yeah, maybe that's all it is. It's just this. It's like Thing. Thing from the Addams Family plays Iron Man.
Nice.
And also Luke Cage, which I hope they get Nicolas Cage to play him.
Oh.
I don't know anything about Luke Cage.
He could either be
a 12-year-old black child. And I still would want.
I think Nicolas Cage could still do it well.
Nicolas Cage would play him.
Yep.
Awesomely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so there's going to be 4 of these series. And then they're all going to culminate in a 13-episode miniseries, The Defenders, which is sort of the Hell's Kitchen superheroes, which is who these people are.
Okay.
Guess when it comes out, when this Defenders comes out.
I can't imagine. Could it be perhaps 2015?
2015!
No!
The day, the year everything happens.
Seriously. Everything is happening in 2015. Clear your schedules now.
Stop making movies after 2015.
Yeah.
It's done. So that's, what do you think of that? Do you think that'll be a success or not?
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And, it's 2 years from now, so who knows where everything will be at that point.
Yeah. I think it's more interesting to see that Marvel and Disney has kind of distanced itself a little bit from its own network.
Right.
Which is ABC, because they're doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's getting mixed reviews.
Yeah, it's all right.
But I think that that's a good thing, because if they put it all into the ABC umbrella, ABC has a very certain culture.
Yeah, ABC would be crammed with superhero movies
and
shows and things. And it's interesting how already they're taking S.H.I.E.L.D. and like moving that into the next movie here and, playing that off. It's interesting how they're doing it. But I don't know, with 4 more... It could be a little much.
But I think it's good that they're getting it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think that helps it. That spreads it around. I think that's a good idea.
It's kind of overload, though.
Yeah. You're right. That's what we're looking at with that and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Got all these different groups. Are we going to OD on superhero movies?
I think it could happen.
Speaking of extra superhero movies, there's going to be another Wolverine movie.
There is.
Not a whole lot to say about it. It's just James Mangold is coming back to direct.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
which I didn't see this one, but I didn't hear very great things about it. So it
pleased the fans of original Wolverine, but it wasn't a smash bag, mainstream success. It did well enough to get another movie.
Apparently so.
And Hugh Jackman is, of course, coming back. It'll be the 8th time he's played Wolverine in a movie.
Wow.
Which I think is a record, actually.
Huh. All
right. Anyways, let's move on. We got to talk about movies here.
Let's do that.
You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. First one we're going to be talking about is Thor, The Dark World.
Nice.
Following the Avengers, Thor returns to Earth to stop an evil creature. That's the best way I could describe it. From destroying the universe. It sounds ridiculous. It works way better than that. Here's the trailer.
Some believe that before the universe, there was nothing. They're wrong. There was darkness, and it has survived.
It's gonna happen.
We face an enemy known only to a few, known only to one.
You must be truly desperate to come to me for help.
All right, what did you think?
I did have to laugh when I read your blurb for this one. I was like,
most simplified.
Yeah, I guess you can take it that way.
I didn't know.
And that's the thing about this movie. The story, kind of a mess. It's all over the place. There's so much going on that if you really try to pay attention, you'll get lost. Yeah. So don't really pay that much attention to what's going on. Just enjoy the story because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't ask questions.
No. It's Thor and it's Loki and, you know, it's characters that we know and love to hate. Mm-hmm. And they're awesome. And the one thing for me that really was different with this one as opposed to Kenneth Branagh's version.
The braids in Thor's hair.
Well, there's that. But also just the tone of it, because the one complaint that I had about the first Thor was that in Asgard, it was so serious.
Yeah.
It was like Shakespearean drama. And then you get to Earth and it's goofy and it's silly. And I was like, it just feels so uneven.
Yeah.
And this time it's a little more even. The tone is light through the whole thing, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Some people will like that it's a little lighter in Asgard. Some people will think it's just too silly.
It's funnier.
Yeah.
There's a lot of you, but at least they do compartmentalize the comic relief with certain characters.
Yeah.
Like Kat Dennings' character.
Of course.
You know, and Stellan Skarsgård.
Right.
His character's great.
And I think that's great. This time it feels a little more consistent to me. Mm. The visuals, not quite as awesome.
Really? See, I thought they looked way better than
No, I didn't think so.
I was with the first one, I just thought I thought Asgard all looked the same.
Right.
But I thought the whole frost giant world looked really cheap.
Yeah.
So since we weren't on that,
right?
I thought it looked better. It was a bigger screen movie though, because it does have these big sort of IMAX type shots.
Mm-hmm,
in it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the action was good. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
I liked the fact that part of the thing that bothered me with the first one is this isn't a complaint of the movie. This is a complaint about origin stories. You spend half the movie setting up who's who.
Exactly. And you don't have that this time around. It's already taken care of. You know, you've had Thor. You've had the Avengers. We all know what's going on.
And you needed it in Thor because you can't just drop people in a Thor movie.
No.
And have them understand about rainbow bridges and Asgard and, you know, frost giants and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So it was necessary. It's just that's why I like second movies a lot of times because you can just kind of get into it.
Yep.
And it has fun action. It looks cool once the 3D works.
There is so much. There is a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's Star Wars meets Shakespeare. It's crazy. Yeah. And it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's just plain fun.
Yeah. I want to see it again. Our screening, actually, I thought the sound was a little low.
There were a lot of things that were off on our screen.
Our screening was a mess.
It was.
But it has a booming soundtrack, which I really kind of want to see again.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Because I was a little lukewarm on the first Thor. I like this one better.
Yep. I think I do too.
Oh,
and so. I love Kenneth Branagh, but I think this one's a little bit better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
The story's still a mess, but I don't care.
It's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
They're not
That's the same thing I said all summer. This is a great movie. The story makes no sense.
Well, you know.
You know.
That happens.
Yeah. It's a blockbuster. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So what's your final grade?
I'm going to say it rocks.
Yeah. I'm going to say it rocks, too.
Yeah.
I was impressed. Good job, Thor. Way to go, Asgardians.
Way to go, Thor.
Thumbs up. All right. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about time and 12 years a slave.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. Do you have something to say at this point? Because this is when you always have something to say.
I always interrupt you, but I don't have anything. Oh. I have nothing brilliant to say right now.
Really? Because the other times you have something brilliant to say?
It's always brilliant. Everything that comes out of my mouth. Pearls of wisdom.
And glass.
And spittle. Occasionally.
All right. So now let's talk about some of the smaller films coming out this week.
Yep. Yeah. Expanding.
Yes.
Just like my waistline.
There you have it.
That was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
Brilliant.
So the first one we have is About Time.
Yes.
Love Actually writer-director Richard Curtis tells the story of an awkward young man who uses his abilities to travel through time to win the girl of his dreams.
Aww.
Tim, my dear son, this is going to sound strange, but there's this family secret that the men in the family can travel in time.
This is such a weird joke.
It's not a joke.
If it's true, which it isn't.
Although it is.
But if it was, which it's not.
Which it is.
How would I actually...
You go into a dark place, clench your fists, think of the moment you're going to, and you'll find yourself there.
It's going to be a complicated year.
It's going to be a complicated life.
Did you like this?
That's a tough question.
It's an easy question. It's a tough answer.
No, it's not. It's one of those things I felt like this was two different movies.
It is.
And I loved the first movie.
Okay.
The second movie, not so much.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You like, well, is it fair to say that the first movie is the love story?
Yes. The
and
first
the
movie,
second movie
is
the father-son relationship.
Is, you know, this charming little rom-com about, mm-hmm. you know, traveling back and forth in time and, you know, making this girl fall in love with you. And that, it's fun and it's cute and it's charming. And
it's not as creepy as you made it sound. You're making this girl fall in love with you. Because that's the thing. He manipulates things, but he does it in a very charming, unassuming way.
And that's just the charm of this movie. It's just, it's cute.
And
it's
that's a feat.
Funny.
Because that setup could get creepy.
Oh,
fast,
yeah, totally.
Really fast.
But it's done really well. Mm-hmm. And the actor, Donald Gleason, who is Brendan Gleason's son.
Oh, I figured.
Yeah. Is so adorable. I absolutely love him. Yep. And then all of a sudden, this movie hits a brick wall.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Because then it gets really dramatic. And he realizes that, you know, there's more to his abilities than, you know, just being able to get people to fall in love with him and starting this relationship. And, you know, now that he's got his happily ever after, he realizes there's other stuff going on that he needs to fix.
But see, that's very Richard Curtis. There's always a little bit of a dark side.
There is. But I guess with me, I kind of felt like usually it flows a little better. Mm. To me, this felt like all of a sudden there's just a break, and then it gets really serious.
See, for me, I liked where it went better than where it started. Mm. And I thought the beginning of him and the relationship, because they're billing it as a romance.
Right.
They really are.
And that's kind of what you go in expecting, and all of a sudden you're like, hold on, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, this is getting really serious and dark and heavy.
Well, but I have to say I'm one of those people who rolled my eyes at the trailer because I'm like, really, Rachel McAdams, another love story about a time traveler? Seriously?
Yes.
You know, because it does.
And I don't know why they needed to make...
And she's American. Yeah. She's in... I mean, it just seemed like they just wanted her in it. And she's pretty, but
they don't make her pretty in this movie.
No, but she's still gorgeous. You can put crappy bangs on her.
It is terrible bangs.
But she's still gorgeous Rachel McAdams. And that's one thing that it does kind of have that manic pixie dream girl sort of quality to it.
Yeah.
That and I didn't dislike her character, but I was just kind of like, I didn't think she was anything special in the movie.
No, I didn't love the character either.
Yeah.
I just loved him that much.
Yeah, he's great.
He's awesome.
And he's very charming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Bill Nighy, who plays his dad, who's also incredibly charming.
Who is wonderful.
Bill
yes.
Nighy.
Yes.
Playing Bill Nighy.
Right.
But yeah, maybe it's just because I'm a guy and I got sons, so there's this whole father-son relationship.
You know, and I
thing.
Think if it had been two different movies, I would have enjoyed it.
Okay.
You know, because the story is well told and, you know, it's really well done for what it is.
Yeah.
It feels like such a brick wall for me. All of a sudden it's this cute, funny story, and then all of a sudden the humor's gone and it's just this heavy drama.
Yeah. So. And they do kind of chuck the wife out the window at
They
one
chuck
point.
A lot of things out the window
They're kind
for
of like,
a while.
Okay, hey, we're not going to – just go to craft services.
Yeah.
Hang out over there.
We'll call you back in a few weeks.
We're going to fill these seats with
Yeah.
them. Yeah. Anyways, what's your final grade?
I'm going to still say it kind of rocks.
I say it kind of rocks. Actually, no, I'm going to give it a totally rocks.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
All right.
So there we go. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're moving on to the next movie, which is also kind of about time. Well, that would be 12 Years a Slave. A free man from New York is kidnapped and mistakenly returned to slavery. Well, mistakenly in air quotes.
Right.
Returned to slavery in the Deep South.
And returned is also in air quotes.
Yeah, in air quotes. For 12 years. That's not a spoiler.
No. It's a story.
Yeah.
Solomon Northup is an expert player on the violin.
I was born a free man. Lived with my family in New York. Be good for your mother.
Until the day I was deceived.
To Solomon.
Kidnapped. Sold into slavery.
Well, boy, how you feel now?
My name is Solomon Northup. I'm a free man.
And you have no right whatsoever to detain me.
You're no free man. You're nothing but a Georgia runaway.
Here's the thing. This one is getting so much buzz.
It is.
And it's a good movie.
It is, yep.
It's well made. It's beautifully shot.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's a beautiful looking movie.
Just wonderfully acted.
And yeah, great acting, well. Except for Brad Pitt, kind of dumb in the egg. He's just sort of like, he just shows up and does this
there
kind of weird
There are a lot
action.
Of random cameos in this movie.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who just show up and you're like, oh, hey, it's that guy. Oh, he's gone.
Yep, there he goes. Yeah. He's disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Gone! So,
nice.
But we...
I have no idea what that had to do with anything.
Well, Benedict Cumberbatch.
He was in there, yes.
He's in there.
He never says con, though.
He should. He should do that in every movie from now on.
Okay, because he's in every other movie.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah.
He should do it as the dragon in Smog. Smog, con!
Smog!
Smog!
Anyway, but, let's talk about this movie,
okay.
Shall we?
With all that said, as very beautifully shot as it is and incredibly well acted and dramatic and powerful, people, you need to just calm down a little bit. This is not the greatest movie of the year.
No.
It's good.
It is a very good movie, but...
But it's really heavy-handed.
It is.
It lays it on so thick. I have to say, because Paul Dano's in the movie.
Yes.
And he plays literally the slave master. He is in charge of the slaves.
Right.
I wish I could go to work and have the same enthusiasm that he does for his job. Not the same job. But, I mean, this guy just loves being mean to slaves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he doesn't wake up and go, oh, I got to go. Slaves. It's such a chore. No, he hops out of bed and goes running past his coffee maker because he doesn't need it because he's so excited to beat slaves.
There are a few of those characters in this movie.
And it's people are so extreme and so wackadoodle.
Yeah.
And I don't discount that this stuff happened.
No, and that's the thing. You know, these things happen, but at the same time, they are kind of stereotypes.
Oh,
a lot of these characters.
And
you know, fortunately, they're very well acted, and that makes up for a lot of it. But yeah, you do kind of walk out going, wow, white men are crazy.
I know. And I think what's driving a lot of the praise...
And white women
are
crazy and jealous and mean.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to step in a potential bear trap here, but I'm going to say, and
okay.
I'll say it, I think that a lot of the praise, beyond just the general praise... it's the greatest movie of all time kind of praise, does stem a bit from white guilt. Because you can go see the movie as a white person and say it's directed by a black man, it's about slavery, and those white people are bad, evil people, shame on them. And I can commiserate with you.
Okay.
And that I think that's part of what's driving it. I mean, there's a lot of white guilt to this movie.
Oh, yeah. It's true. It's
and
true.
I know some people get offended at that, but I stand by that statement.
Yeah, it is. It's a difficult movie to discuss, you know.
Well, because if you criticize it, your people are going to be like, racist!
Exactly. And, you know, I kind of loved it.
Okay.
You know, there were a lot of things that I was like, yeah, you know, the characters are stereotypical. For me, this movie was about the performances and about some of the actors. I mean, there were some... And it's a lot of smaller actors, you know, that you've never heard of who give just remarkable performances in this movie.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, it's an interesting story. They have, you know, the stories that you've heard before and read in your history books. But there are some other stories that are really unusual.
Yeah.
A few little interesting things that you run into along the way. Because it's not just his story. It's about other people that he meets, too.
Yeah.
And that, you know, gives it a little twist.
I would say it's definitely worth seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Steve McQueen did a great job with it.
Yes.
But I'm still going to only say it kind of rocks.
I'm going to say it rocks.
All right. Racist! Well, we're going to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to do DVDs. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer, Kramer, and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We are going to lead right into a listener email. This is from our good friend, Red
Chris
State?
Hemsworth?
Yes, Chris Hemsworth.
I thought he was our good friend.
About 12 years ago.
I'm so confused about all of our friends.
We're friends with everybody.
So many friends. But this is one of our better ones.
Yes. Red State Gabe, our good friend from Arizona. What are your thoughts on going into film editing or any editing in show business? Is it profitable and a solid career for a person whose talent is being able to proofread on the fly, edit as an instinct, and thoroughly enjoy it? Should one consider schooling, or how should one approach this career? KDK, what do you say about this?
I say that the entertainment industry is a very difficult industry.
Run away!
Yes.
Flee it like you're fleeing the slavery.
Do not expect to be an overnight success. I will say that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. Also, you usually the overnight successes are like actors and directors who suddenly come on this. Nobody sits there and suddenly like, oh my gosh, Fred Jones, the editor,
right,
has blown up. Part of the thing with film editing, if you're into film and TV editing, it's sort of like getting a job in the symphony. You kind of have to wait for somebody to die to get the good job, because there's only so many editors.
It's true.
The other thing. Well, a couple of things. First of all, film editing is not the same as proofreading or editing writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is making it tighter and checking for errors and that sort of thing. Editing is composing what you're given and putting it together.
So right.
It's a very different process than editing a book, mm-hmm. per se. So, you know, the ability to proofread, you know, and edit on instinct, you're not making those decisions, you're assembling things. Really.
Right, you're taking a whole bunch of different cuts and putting them all together into what works the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other downside of this is why I wouldn't necessarily stampede towards this career, is every film student knows how to edit, because you have to edit your own stuff, mm-hmm. when you go through film school. So even though if you go into film school, you're going to have people that are in the writing track, the directing track, the acting track, everybody knows how to edit, and the way desktop software is, they all have the tools at their
right.
disposal. You
mm-hmm.
don't have to find somebody who's got a $50,000 Avid editing machine.
That is the industry today, yes.
Yes. So if you're starting now, you're going to be starting many, many, many steps behind a 16-year-old kid who has an interest in film. So if you're interested in editing, get a freeware or a very cheap editing software and start shooting your own stuff,
mm-hmm.
and see how you like that, and do that at home, and at least see whether it works as something that you're at all remotely interested in assembling it. And then realize as an editor, you're always going to be working for somebody. You're not doing creative decisions.
Right. Yep.
You may do creative decisions, but, you know, the director.
It'll help a little bit. Yes. But it's all in the director's vision.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I wouldn't say if you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s, quitting your job and running out to Hollywood to become an editor. You know, test it out first on your own editing system. But it's most people wind up in film editing because they've already started sort of the technical track.
Mm-hmm.
So hope that doesn't burst your bubble. I wouldn't want to be in charge of bubble bursting.
Oh, that's a terrible job to have.
I know.
Mm.
I just do it occasionally. I walk around like the zoo with a large pin. And if kids have balloons, I go, bam, burst your bubble. And then they cry.
I can totally see you doing that.
I laugh at them.
And then you run away.
I run away like Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
But the secret is, I don't really run very well,
no.
So I just sort of waddle fast away, and then I trip and I fall.
Which makes it even funnier.
And some people put cigarettes out on me.
Okay.
All right. I hope that answered your question. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think you've significantly bursted his bubble.
Sorry, Red State Gabe.
Yes. Thank you for writing in, though.
Yes. Yes. We welcome more questions. So let's move on to box office.
Let's do that.
Last week, I think I win. I'm just declaring victory.
You might have been a little bit over last week.
Yeah.
Oh, a touch.
Yeah. It was close. I said Ender's Game was going to make $512 million over the weekend. It came in just a hair under that.
A little bit, yeah.
You said $40 million.
And I was still quite a bit over.
Way off.
Yeah. So there you have it.
$27 million for Ender's Game.
Who knew?
It's... What's interesting is if you compare it in terms of – if you look at sort of like the box office analysis I was reading, compared it to stuff like The Golden Compass, and which was not known as a success, but actually, if you look at the numbers, it did very well overseas.
Hmm.
But it kind of made that same opening weekend, that just under $30 million opening weekend. This is not a – it's not a huge success, but it's also not a bomb either.
No, it's respectable.
We'll see how it works, you know, how it plays out, what kind of legs it has in the U.S. It's mm-hmm. probably going to get crushed when Hunger Games comes out right before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
But the other thing we have to watch on this to see whether this is warranting a sequel is how it does internationally, because these things tend to that tends to be most important.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and the other difference is a lot of people comparing it saying, well, you know, we've had other juvenile literature books like City of Bones, mm-hmm. Percy Jackson mm-hmm. this year. What was that? Beautiful Creatures. The difference with Ender's Game is Ender's Game was never a kid's book.
Hmm.
It was a science fiction book that had kids in it.
Right.
So it is slightly different. And if you actually look at it, also the only really, really recognizable name in it was Harrison Ford. Well, and Viola Davis. But they didn't pump her as a mm-hmm. star.
No.
Of it.
It's a big Harrison Ford thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it did okay. It wasn't huge. It's not a bomb. It's kind of like yet to be seen if it's really going to be a success.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still in the running. But it's got a little bit of ground to cover. Then Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa came in second with $20 million. It's actually a pretty respectable hold.
It is, actually.
For a not very respectable movie. Last Vegas and Freebirds almost tied, but Last Vegas came in a little ahead.
Whew.
At 3 and 4.
Thank goodness.
With $16 million. So Freebirds is not going to deal well. I just don't think
so. You don't think so?
No.
It's not going to hold strong with the Thanksgiving turkey crowd?
No. Oh, we got to talk about this. We got like emails about Freebirds last year.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. There is, you know, Freebirds is supporting a campaign to save the turkeys
mm-hmm.
this Thanksgiving. Yes. So don't eat turkey this Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We got.
Because of Freebirds.
We got cards and like well, e-cards about
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
But you know what I did last weekend right after I got it?
You ate a turkey?
I cooked a turkey and
nice.
Ate it.
Mm-hmm.
It was delicious. It was like one of the best turkeys I've done. Oh, it was so good.
Nice.
Yes. So
take that in your campaign.
That's right, turkeys. About Time only made $1.1 million in 175 theaters because it did limited release last week.
Right.
And it came in 13. That's actually pretty disappointing. I think part of it has to do with kind of what you were feeling, where it's billed as a romance and it's
mm-hmm.
not quite.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dallas Buyers Club is another smaller release that we'll be talking about later. And that was 260,000 in 9 theaters, which isn't bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then Man of Tai Chi, which we talked about,
yep.
was 61,000 in 110 theaters, which isn't very good.
Not so much.
So,
Anyways,
that's about it. What do you think is going to win this weekend?
I can't say.
I'm going to say Freebirds. No.
I think we're going to say Thor.
$512 million. I think 100 million.
You think 100?
Yes.
I'm going to give it 60.
60?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say 100, and this is the only reason I say that, is because it made $109 million overseas last week.
It did, yes.
So that's I'm just going off of that. I'm just being a copycat to all those people who don't speak English.
Some of them actually do speak English.
No, they don't.
I'm just saying.
They don't live in American English.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Stay classy, Kevin Carr.
Let's move on.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. We don't have much time left because we got to do the world famous
DVD roundup.
Woo!
Woo!
All right. First off, we have The Hobbit, The Unexpected Journey, the extended edition, which has 17 extra minutes in it.
Yes.
Plus, it has 9 hours of bonus features on the Blu-ray that weren't on the original release. And it has a commentary track.
There you have it.
So if you want to get more and more and more of The Hobbit.
Because you didn't get enough the first time.
You can have more of it. And then, of course, we have The Desolation of Smaug coming out in about a month.
Yes.
There's also White House Down.
Mm-hmm.
Stars Jamie Foxx as
another movie about the White House this year.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. There was also Lovelace, which is the sort of true story of Linda Lovelace.
Right.
Doesn't quite work, and it has a real TV movie feel to it.
Really?
With breasts. Mm. There's a lot of nudity
nice.
In this movie with Amanda Seyfried, which I appreciated. But
okay.
There you go. Parkland, which is about JFK's assassination
mm-hmm.
and sort of the people who were dealing with what was the aftermath of it, the immediate aftermath.
In the hospital in yes. Dallas, yes.
Girl Most Likely.
With Kristen Wiig.
That nobody saw.
Right.
And Mad Men Season 6 and Under the Dome.
Right.
From television. And then the stinker of the week, you want to announce that one?
Yeah, I think we both agree on this one. It is Grown Ups 2.
The only redeeming fact of that is if you look at it as if Adam Sandler is seeing if he's punking his entire audience to see how far he can go.
There you go.
So, but no, it's a terrible movie. Anyways, we got to go. Review wrap up. We've got Thor the Dark World. We both said rocked. About Time, I said rocked. You said kind of rocked. 12 Years a Slave, reversed. You said rocked. I said kind of rocked. Next week, we're going to be talking about The Best Man Holiday in Nebraska.
See ya.